Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you want to stay in Chicago or what's up?
Yeah, of course. Of course I want to stay. But I can't see myself playing in another place, but I know how that league is. Like, if it was up to me, I would want to stay in Chicago. I love the city. The city's lit. The fans there, you know, they're great. Mm-hmm. And the people. But it's a business. I ain't got no control over it. So whatever happens, happens. But I feel like the biggest thing with all this going on right now, I just want it to be over.
What else is on?
Yeah, let's see what else.
Where's the TV guy?
Down the middle here. Got it.
Nice.
Terrific throw and catch right there. Caleb Williams. California.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty.
Yeah, okay, you're Mark Crotty, right?
On Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That's me. Cali was the sight of a Caleb Williams pro day. The most important pro day of all time took place. As far as Chicago Bears fans are concerned, I can't recall ever being this interested in a pro day. I've never covered a pro day either, so just right up front, I did not cover the Caleb Williams Pro Day today, but we have somebody, we have boots on the ground. We have somebody who was there and will talk to us about Caleb Williams today and his Pro Day. As a matter of fact, the guy that we're going to have on in just a little bit, about 6:25 or so, Yogi Roth, Pac-12 Network, Sirius XM host. He's basically watched every game that Caleb Williams has played since he was like in high school. So I have a feeling that Yogi Roth will be able to provide us insights, a little bit of play-by-play of what went on today with what Caleb Williams accomplished, what it means, what he's all about, what he's capable of. But try to work all of that in with Yogi Roth. We're going to take advantage of Yogi Roth. And I suspect that somebody named Yogi, typically the Yogis that I know are always good people, always affable people. They tend to be, they can be quirky, but quirky good, I think. And this is, yeah, sorry, Robbie Triano, our executive producer. This is something we were actually discussing about a half an hour ago, that, you know, when we were discussing our guest list, we said, you know, Yogi. He's probably a really good guy.
Have you ever met a bad yogi?
Never I met haven't. A bad yogi. No.
Never.
No. Nope.
And he's never been normal. Always a little quirk to
him. A little quirk. And I believe Yogi Berra set that precedent, especially for people listening right now, because that's where sports listeners, sports, we have sports. We have sports. We go to Yogi Berra. We don't go to some academic. But and then Yogi Roth, that's where we go second.
Those are the only two yogis I know. So,
well, there is a bear.
Oh, yeah, that guy too.
Yogi,
yeah.
Yogi Bear. Perhaps one of the most important of our yogis is a bear. But Yogi Roth, I am looking forward to talking to him to see what went down there. And, you know, it doesn't mean the world. This is a check the box. This is, you get to spend more time with the athlete. There are more routes run, a little bit more specified, a little bit everything, obviously, much more intimate. The Bears had a huge crew out there, including the GM Ryan Poles, Matt Eberflus, of course, Shane Waldron, Kerry Washington, who was the QB's coach. Try to use these names as often as possible because you're still getting to know at least the QB coach and coordinator. Thomas Brown was out there as well, passing game coordinator. So a big crew of Bears people. What I loved about it, maybe my favorite part about this, because, again, you're checking a box here. As long as nothing tragic happens, injuries, or he just looks just drunk, then it's all good. But, my God, Keenan Allen, ladies and gentlemen, made his way to the workout at USC. Now, he lives out there, has something of a relationship with Caleb Williams, but not much. I mean, maybe met him once or twice before, but yes, lives out there. But how about just showing up out there, hanging out, supporting the Bears that were there? He's wearing his Bears gear. I mean, that's pretty cool that Keenan, I mean, you'd think that a veteran in the NFL, no matter what position, I was going to say veteran wide receiver, but a guy that's played in the league for 10 years, I would think that the last thing that he would be desirous of doing would be going to a college football pro day when all he's thinking about, like, if you're a veteran, you're either thinking about how can I extend the moneymaker or how can I get myself a ring. And I'd like to think that Keenan Allen is ring chasing. I'd like to think that. God, that sounds weird, doesn't it? Like if we're ring chasing for the Bears, I'm processing this in real time.
We may have to pump the brakes.
Yeah. No, I am pumping the brakes. You're absolutely right. Don't let me do that, Robbie.
We're high on hopium.
Robbie,
here. A lot of hope here.
Don't let me do that, man. See, this is why I like having you here, Robbie. And I'm not trying to expose you, but you're a Lions fan, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
I try to stay objective on the Bears. I'm not a hater of the Bears.
I know. Well, that's why you're perfect. I mean, that you do have a slightly more objective view than the rest of us. And I know you're not hating, and you don't, like, prance around your lionness throughout the day. So you don't do that. So people, no reason to hate on Robbie Triano. So you can actually provide perspective for me. So help me when I need it, okay?
I'll be there.
Yeah.
I'll be the objective journalist in this situation.
No, you did a great job right there. But the fact that Keenan Allen was there was, it's cool, first of all, like you're a Bears fan. And then, of course, it makes it more real. I mean, there's this wink and a nod when it comes to certain questions about Caleb Williams and what would it be like if you played with the Bears? Could you imagine playing with Keenan Allen? What do you think if that was your offensive line? What do you like about the Bears' depth on the O-line and wide receiver, if it was to happen? But it makes it more realistic that if a guy who, again, veteran wanting to go to some rookie's camp, man, last thing in the world, but he was there, and I thought that was pretty cool, that he, you know, it's a made man who doesn't have to do it, but he's wanting to put his best foot forward for the Bears organization. It does make you feel like they're beginning to build something. I mean, you start to feel it. Like, that's the, I mean, Robbie had the Justin Fields stuff to start the open and had the juxtaposition going into Caleb Williams. But it is sad what happened, but now it's real. And if Justin Fields is gone, Justin Fields is on a different team for which he will play football. He will not be playing for the Chicago Bears in the year 2024, 2025. It's not going to happen. Page is turned, and now you could look at it, if you needed a little bit of time to sports mourn Justin Fields, now you start to turn the page and really dig into it if you're into the pro day. And like I said, we're going to be all over this throughout the night, not just Yogi Roth. We're going to have Jim Nagy on, the executive producer of the Reese's Senior Bowl. He will be on a little bit later on. 18-year NFL scout. So he knows players, does Jim Nagy. And then 8:25, we're going to circle it back around to Antonio Morales. He covers USC for The Athletic. So you are covered on all of that. We're open here too, by the way. 312-644-6767 is the number. I am Mark Rohde. Robbie Triano is our producer tonight. He is the man to whom you will speak if you would like to come on the air and talk to us. I see the text line and refreshing it. Haven't had a chance to glance much yet, but I will. I read it all. 312-644-6767 is the number if you want to get in on the action tonight. One of the things that I've been doing over the last 48 hours is trying to figure out what is actually realistic for the Bears at number 9 if they don't trade down. And for the record, being a mock draft guy, now that I am in my first mock draft, I did have the Bears trading with Vegas at number 9 and the Bears at 13 taking Brock Bowers, the tight end out of Georgia. Okay. So that's what I did. That's before free agency or any of these signings or trades, before Keenan Allen. Okay. So and it still would not be a stretch for me to see Brock Bowers be drafted by the Bears. But I will explain that further because I know a lot of people are like, what, you're crazy. They just signed Cole Kmet to a $50 million deal. No, it makes sense. But anyway, like just try, let's figure this out quickly. Like, what's going to be possible at 9 as we refresh some of the things that have happened so far? We know the Bears are going, we really think the Bears are going to take Caleb Williams at number 1. At number 2, I can't call it with Washington. It's getting tougher and tougher to call the Patriots and Washington in my original mock draft. And again, I love referencing my own mock draft. I did have Drake May going to Washington at number 2, Jaden Daniels going to the Patriots at number 3. I think if I was doing the mock draft again, 2.0, those two might flip-flop. But anyway, I would imagine that Arizona is probably going to take Marvin Harrison Jr. That's what I would suspect here. Real time now. Chargers, well, this is where you start to potentially lose some of the guys that you'd stare down at number 9. The Chargers, I'm thinking, now, they've lost everybody at wide receiver, basically. So they're probably going to take Malik Nabers if they don't try to move up to make a move for Marvin Harrison Jr. And I think I'm just doing this without trades right now. But I could also see Jim Harbaugh wanting a foundation piece on the offensive line. Joe Alt, maybe one of those guys, one of the biggins on the offensive line. So I don't think that that's out of the realm of possibility for the Chargers at 5. The Giants, I still have this weird feeling they're going to take J.J. McCarthy. I don't know if that's the right move for them, but just things that I heard at the Combine. And again, Combine feels like it was a long time ago, but I guess I'm going to stay strong with J.J. McCarthy at number 6. We're getting there. I have to go through this to see what's available for the Bears. At 7, the Titans, I would imagine, well, they just got Calvin Ridley, right? So I could see them maybe going on the defensive side of the ball. Or could they? Man, I don't think they could resist it. Even though they spent all that money on Calvin Ridley, don't you have to go get Romadunze? Probably at 7. Then Atlanta at number 8, right before the Bears. I would have to think, with all of the offense that they have, and I realized it hasn't been realized yet, all of their offense, it's still young, with all those guys. But I think that they could afford to go defense right there. I mean, come on. They spent a lot of dough on that offense and will. So I think they would go Dallas Turner, and that brings us to the Bears. So I think that it's possible that at number 9, I think Odunze could be there. I think Neighbors could be there. I think Alt could be there. I think Jared Verse could be there. Maybe Dallas Turner, the defensive end. And I should do a better job at giving positions when I name these guys. I apologize for that. So I think that there are still many possibilities for the Bears at 9. However, I would like to see the Bears pile on. And that, I've kind of changed my thought process on this. I want to see them draft the best possible offensive player at number 9 again. Or if they feel that they can get that guy by trading down. And I know there is a need on defense for somebody to sack the quarterback other than Montez Sweat. But you do have to think about the improvement of the young guys like Pickens and Jervon Dexter. You have to allow for some of that. And I wasn't saying this before, but I'm saying it now. The Bears defense is good right now and could be great, maybe, as it is. So I feel like that they need that next player to really become elite, but dare I say, you can maybe settle for good on the defense if you can, if it is at the expense of continuing to jack up the Chicago Bears offense, which has never been properly jacked up. It's just true. With the Bears offense has gotten to certain points in its history where it looks really good. I mean, we have referenced it recently. The Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, Martellus Bennett offense was to be reckoned with. Make no mistake, with Jay Cutler at the helm, those were some real guys there. But I've said it before, appropriately enough, on the show that is manned by Gabe Ramirez, and he's always dug this, that, yeah, you got to get greedy when it comes to the offense just because we know how tough life is without it. You know, Bears fans, that it has gotten you to the elite defense days and just enough offense has gotten you to some nice places. It did win you a Super Bowl in the 1980s, although there was some elite stuff on offense, obviously, with multiple Hall of Famers, offensive line, with the running back and Walter Payton. All of that existed then. I mean, that was just kind of a perfect match. But typically, you know, you can get to a Super Bowl in 2006, but you didn't win the Super Bowl in 2006. You get in places. It's just a lot easier, or at least I'd like to think, we've never really seen it here, that it would be a lot easier to get there if you have fortified your offense and you have a good defense. And that doesn't mean, like, if you don't draft defense at number 9, it doesn't mean that you still don't put that position, or that, you know, that you don't look at some of the second tier tight end, or excuse me, defensive ends or other guys in the draft. And, you know, the Bears don't have bums on defense the rest of the way through either. So there is development and all of that to go along with it. So I do think that the Bears defense would survive if you didn't invest in them and you continue to pile on the offense. And it's kind of like, why not? And especially since you don't know how long you're going to have Keenan Allen. I mean, you have to say, look, he's under contract for 1 year is what's guaranteed to you from this man. It's possible and maybe even probable based on what I was able to infer at the press conference with Keenan Allen that he could stick around. But, you know, he's on the back nine, as we say. And so it's very possible that, you know, the next guy could be the one that is around for 10 years, and that would be one of those rookies or maybe the tight end. Yeah, I haven't come off of that. Look, with the Brock Bowers thing, to me that's more of a best player available, and when I did it the first time, that's the name that organically came up. I think that you can't just say to a position, well, boy, we can't, you know, stack that position. Yeah, you can. I mean, especially now. Like, maybe you didn't agree with me on that before, but now, if you had two terrific wide receivers, which you have, and then you have two terrific tight ends, which you might have with Brock Bowers and the continued improvement of Cole Kmet. I mean, that's formidable stuff. the kind of stuff that makes you think that the Bears could be a playoff team next year.
So I'm getting a lot of texts, or the text line is getting a lot of texts saying that the Bears will find a way to screw this up. And like, since I've worked here, I've seen a lot of pessimism just like that.
Mm-hmm.
With these two picks, has Ryan Poles, like, do you trust him enough with these picks now? Because I feel like Bears fans should not be having this mantra all the time that they're going to screw it up. I feel like Ryan Poles has really done a great job so far.
Well, I mean, we don't even have to go back that far, Robbie, and I appreciate that. Like, you go, last year, this man, Ryan Poles, pulled off a trade that got to a wide receiver, the likes of which we haven't seen much historically, and DJ Moore. Ryan Poles also got you the number one overall pick this year because of the team that he dealt with, the Carolina Panthers.
I feel like besides Claypool, and there's probably some moves I'm missing, I feel like there's been more good than bad from Ryan Poles.
Oh, absolutely. And yes, the Chase Claypool was an absolute flop, but he's starting to stack some wins together lately. Ryan Poles, that is starting to make us forget about that. I mean, you have to, well, look, Velus Jones, that's a mistake right there. In a draft where you barely took a wide receiver, you wait till the third round, and that's the guy that you got, and all the promise that was expected with him, that's for sure. I don't know if I have any issues with Ryan Poles on the Larry Ogunjobi thing. As a matter of fact, I don't. That goes on the record. You know they had handed Larry Ogunjobi a contract and the money, or they put it in place, I should say. And then Larry Ogunjobi failed the physical. So really, in that case, I mean, it felt very Bears then. Like, it really did, because then we hadn't had the perspective of what happened with Ryan Poles in the future and his subsequent moves. But back then, it was like, oh, of course something had to go wrong. The first big move, and it's a flop. Like, that was kind of what the perspective was, and I understood it. But now I look back on that, and I go, no. That was just Ryan Poles following protocol, and probably the precedent that had been set previously was allowing players like that on the Bears, not on Ryan Poles' watch. And I don't have specific names to throw out there, but you know what I'm saying? Many Bears players have, as my buddy Steve Rosenblum would say, have come pre-injured to the Chicago Bears. And luckily that was not the case, as Ryan Poles followed the proper protocol, sniffed it out, and I remember how hard it was for him from the human standpoint to have to do what he did, and that was to say, sorry, Larry, we are not going to be the team to give you the life-changing money. But I know he ended up getting money, and he's probably okay, so everybody's fine. When we return, we are going to bring – Yogi's coming on. We're going to bring on Yogi Roth of the Pac-12 Network. He was at Caleb Williams' pro day today. He has seen a lot of Caleb Williams in his life. We will talk to Yogi Roth next. I'm Mark Grody on The Score.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value plus CRV. Limit 3 free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit 2 packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit 4 items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
How did it feel?
What does that mean to you?
Yeah, it was great. We had a bunch of teams here. I think they said all 32. But to have, that investment that, they're possibly, going to make, to have the GM and the head coach here to watch me, even though the GM, he's a GM, general manager, loves ball, obviously, but, and then the head coach loves ball, but he's the D coordinator and things like that, defensive coach. So to have him here support me is really cool.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Caleb Williams Pro Day is the big deal today. We've been talking about it for a good portion of the day here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score because it is a big deal. And let's keep the talk hot with somebody who was there, somebody who has seen a lot of Caleb Williams playing football. He is Yogi Roth of the Pac-12 Network, a perfect person to have on the program tonight. Yogi, thanks for making the time. How are you, man?
I feel great. Thanks for having me, and love talking football, especially pro days. It's always a fun one here in L.A. whenever SC has one, and it was another enjoyable one again this morning.
Yeah, well, Chicago is very interested in the people in Los Angeles right now, and the people that know Caleb Williams, have seen the man play. But let's start right there, Yogi, with the pro day today, if you can. And I understand the circumstances of it, that it's a guy in a t-shirt and shorts. They are running against air, as we say. There's no interference or anything, so I understand all that. But how do you capsulize or evaluate the performance that you saw out of Caleb Williams today for his pro day at USC?
Well, I think he did everything that was expected of him, in this environment. To your point, shorts and a t-shirt. He's extremely accurate. He's tremendously accurate. Physically, he looked great. He was sharp in every one of his drops, every one of his throws. He's clearly not getting any pressure from a defensive lineman or an edge rusher, but we've seen all of those highlights anyway when he plays off schedule. But to me, he did what so many guys have done before him at SC, which is really impressive at quarterback. I was there when downpour with Sam Darnold. I was there when Mark Sanchez worked out. I was there when Leinart threw as a guy who won a couple of national titles and Heisman Trophy. Up and down the list, it's always a draw for the SC quarterback. And Caleb is clearly going to be one of the first names ever mentioned when you think about USC and quarterbacks. So he killed it, man. I think a lot of the chatter that I heard or people that I talked to is there's a lot of curiosity of why is there some bad mouthing around Caleb, or why are people saying some negative stories? Like, you talk to coaches, you talk to people around him, talk to his teammates. I mean, teammates of his were coming up to me at USC saying, man, like, people need to make sure they've got a tremendous leader. Here's another example of from the last season or two seasons where he continued to be worthy of the number one pick. So I think some of his teammates might be a little frustrated with some of the, negativity maybe that comes his way. And, I think we've all done this long enough to know that when you're the number one pick, you're going to hear it and feel it from all sides. But for your audience and for Chicago Bears fans, I'd imagine you're going to draft him. I hope you do. I think he's an absolute stud. I've known him since he was 16. I think that he's the surefire number one pick. And if you need a quarterback, why would you not go to Caleb Williams and pick his way?
Well, describe to us. You've seen him since he was 16, and I can't get enough of the testimonials from people who have seen a lot of Caleb Williams. Describe the player. I take it you respect the person, but describe the player. What do you see with your eyes, Yogi Roth, when you watch Caleb Williams play football?
Well, I'll say this. You know, I wrote the book called Five-Star QB, and Caleb is in it. And we interviewed over 50 of the biggest recruits in the history of quarterback play. Bo Nix is in it. You go up and down the list, the who's who of quarterbacks, some who have made it, some were just big recruits. They're all in it. And I believe this, in that case study of interviewing all those guys and being around that position for over 20 years now, is that the best ones, of course, are elite competitors. Check. Of course, you have to be dramatically accurate, in my opinion. He's been that way everywhere. But the third one that I've really kind of honed in on over the last decade is, are you a seeker? And by that, I mean, like, are you willing, able, and have a dramatic thirst to learn? And I say that because there's a world now where athletes, especially quarterbacks, are told how great they are all the time. And after you win a Heisman in L.A., you're told that times 10. I mean, there isn't a weekend that went by where he wasn't throwing out the first pitch or getting a ceremonial jersey or starting the, you know, a race around the Coliseum, you know. And I just say that for him, when I talk to the coaches and I talk to his teammates, his thirst to learn is as high as you'd hope. He's had a plan to get to this stage since he was a young boy, and his dad kind of embarked on that, hasn't wavered from it. I think to really answer your question as a player, well, he's the magical things that you've seen, that everybody has seen, that took the nation by storm, that would trend every Saturday over the last couple of years. It happened his first drive of his career at Oklahoma when they played Texas. But he also can do the boring things, which is play on schedule, play on rhythm, get the ball out. He doesn't have mechanical flaws. He's not 6'5", but he's not 5'9". You know, like, I think he's got all the physical traits to play at a really high level. I think he has all the intangibles to want to learn. And I just hope that the environment that he walks into is one that, of course, is going to challenge him, but it's also one that can feed that and can also empower him, but also not expect him to have every answer. And I think that's the biggest problem with rookie quarterbacks is teams, fans, even the building oftentimes think he's going to be our answer. And I've talked to too many quarterbacks that were first-round picks that say, you know what, the hardest year of my life in my football life is rookie year. Mm-hmm. It's because the season ends and you go right to pre-combine training, you go right to pro day, you go right to interviews, you go right to the draft, you go right to the team, you go right to an off-season, and then you go to a season that's usually double the amount of time than what you've been used to the entirety of your life.
Right. It's kind of overwhelming.
It is overwhelming.
Yeah.
It's why most rookies don't thrive at that position. They all pretty much, you study it, they all hit a wall. So that's why I say it's on the organization to me to have the principles and front load them in place. And I'm sure, I mean, Chicago knows this more than I do. But that's going to be the biggest key, is not just say, okay, go win it for us. It's play within the structure. And when you get out of it, you know, do the magical things that made you the number one pick. But we're going to put all systems around you to allow you to lean on them versus you have to carry everything.
Seems like the Bears are doing a pretty good job at that with the acquisition of Keenan Allen and DeAndre Swift and some depth, if not starters, along the offensive line. And obviously, I don't have to tell you, pairing Keenan Allen, who was at the pro day, right? How about Keenan Allen being at the pro day today?
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I mean, I walked in, that was the first thing somebody told me. I think it was even before I even got into the track area. So the rumor was flying that he was there, which was great. And I think, you know, for Caleb, being in L.A. And being the star that he has been, you know, he's able to handle all of that.
Yeah.
But also what I think I love the most about him is he's – as Tom Brady said, and I give this to every high school quarterback when we do Elite 11, he said, I'm not an extension of the coaching staff, I'm an extension of the huddle. So I've talked to Caleb about that. I've done an interview, you can listen to it on my podcast about that. And I love that he also agrees with that sentiment of, I'm an extension of the huddle. I'm an extension of the fellas. And I think that's really critical, because I think we often will, you know, fall into the crutch of, he's so smart, he's an extension of the staff out there. And it's the other way around. And I say that because, and I tell this to every young analyst, and I've done this my whole career, when I get to practice, I try to be the first guy there, and I'm always the last guy to leave. And not because I have some crazy work ethic, it's because I want to see who's running out there early, what are conversations like pre-practice, and what are they like post-practice. And I've been at numerous USC practices since he's been a Trojan. And every single practice, every one that I've been to, he is the last guy to leave. And it's not because he's like getting extra work with his quarterback or with the center on the QB center exchange. It's because he's just hanging out with the fellas and he's throwing the ball at the goalpost. And it wasn't something he just did that was scripted at the combine to be the last guy to leave. I mean, that has been him from jump. And I just think it's important because he's a blueprint. He's a one percenter in terms of a modern college NIL transfer portal quarterback. So I think he's going to get judged a lot on, hey, where was his focus? Because he had all these NIL deals, or he went over to Milan and walked in the, on the runway. And it's like, hey, it's a different world. Like, we can't comp him to Andrew Luck or to Marcus Mariota or any of Jameis Winston
Trevor
or
Lawrence.
Jared Goff.
Yeah,
Trevor Lawrence, any of these guys, because it's a different world for him, like different planet. And then you layer in Los Angeles. So I say all that, but I think he learned, right, a lot from that experience, took some lumps along the way because SC wasn't an elite program last year in major college football. But I think last year, the bumps in the road in the season will have prepared him for the bright light, the big city, the expectations, and the intention of what a major metropolitan franchise like the Chicago Bears is gonna request.
Right. I mean, that's a big deal. And I know, look, hey, LA is the second largest city in this country, but I mean, Yogi, you'd probably agree that the Chicago Bears and the focus, the immense focus because of the sport, Chicago being a sports hub, I don't know if Caleb Williams is going to be ready for what's going to hit him if he does come to Chicago. I'm not saying he can't adjust. And as a matter of fact, my view of him at the combine where I was, so that's my only being around him, it seems like he can handle us pretty well. And you're giving me pretty good vibes that he should be able to handle Chicago and the microscope that he's going to be under, because that's what we care about here more than anything.
Yeah, well, look, I'd say this, he's still going to be a rookie in the NFL, and he's not going to be perfect. So I think you'd have to define handling, right? Like, it's not going to destroy him. I don't think he's going to crumble, but I don't think it's going to be easy. And that's what I love. You referenced the pieces. To have a Keenan Allen, to have some of these veterans around you. Like, I saw, I think it was Josh McCown there today, who's now a coach, obviously, but I was like, God, I wish like one of those guys, like Hoyer, like somebody who's just been like a 15-year NFL vet was there. Like, I remember when Carson went to Cincinnati and John Kitten was there and Carson Palmer didn't have to play as a rookie. And I think when you talk to Carson about that now, which I have, he'd say, yeah, that was one of the best things that ever happened to me, and I think that it goes one of two ways sometimes, right? You've got the Manning example and then you have the Carr example, both number one picks and, one threw a bunch of picks. The other one got sacked a bunch, and their careers went different ways. Mm-hmm. So
Mahomes, you get the Mahomes example. Mahomes sitting out for 15 games in his first year.
That's right. Now, he's not going to sit, obviously. Like, it's just not the era we're in. But I do think, just helping him out a little bit. And I love that. Like, look, being the number one pick is amazing. But it's also hard when you don't have a lot around you. They have the number one pick for a reason. And I like the moves that your reference to Chicago has made. I think we'll all presume they're gonna choose Caleb Williams as the number one pick in this draft. But he's not going to show up and just turn the franchise around within the first 4 weeks of the season. He's going to have magical moments. He's going to have welcome to the NFL moments.
Sure.
He's going to have rookie moments.
Of course.
And I think that's to be expected versus – oh my God, he's not Superman, like it says on his Twitter bio. Like, it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, there is going to be the Superman hope ultimately for him, but I totally get what you're saying, and we're talking to Yogi Roth of the Pac-12 Network. I'm Mark Rohde on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. A couple more questions for you. You mentioned that you went to the Matt Leinart, Mark Sanchez pro days back in the day, so you guys are well-versed with big-time quarterback prospects. Did this feel bigger than those guys beyond the fact that we're in an era where everything feels bigger?
No, nothing will compare to Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart Pro Day in the history of Pro Days.
Man. Oh, man, I forgot there was two of them.
Yeah, I wasn't even close. That was the first time I think it was ever, like, live on television. If you remember back in the day, Spark, which is a brand with Nike that was like a testing brand, they had, you know, the field looked like, you know, it was on the Nike campus, man. It was like standing room only. It was insane. And I think they banned, because we had fans come. And I think after that year, they banned fans from attending Pro Day.
Really? I didn't know they had fans there then. But, that must have been crazy.
It was bonkers, man. It was – so nothing will ever come close to that. I think Darnold's was epic because of it was pouring rain, and he just – it was like he played in a game. Like, he walked out of there being like, oh, my God, you know.
That guy's a warrior. Look at him. Yeah.
And he is. I mean, I love Sam. I've known him forever. But I think that one probably had a lot of hype. Marks was really cool because there was a lot of, you know, disagreement around should he come out, shouldn't he, and he killed it at his. But this was a big deal, but it felt as appropriate as it should. I think maybe it felt a little bit, it wasn't underwhelming, but it's kind of like those other guys, none of them were the presumed number one pick. It was all like a debate, you know, and I think for this, it's Caleb's, at least in my land, like he's the presumed guy. It's kind of like, he's just going to do what he does. So it didn't feel like it had the hype maybe, or the debate of should it be Jameis or Marcus Mariota, or should it be Sam Darnold or Josh Rosen? Like, it didn't feel like it did in those eras when you comp some of the quarterbacks there.
Yeah. Last thing, I think, is some of the other players that were there. I'm assuming you have a pretty good hold on some of those other players, like Brennan Rice, who I had at least read was catching the passes from Caleb Williams out there today, and a bunch of other guys. Is there anybody that stands out that Bears fans or NFL fans should keep their ears and eyes on other than Caleb Williams? Or no? You're allowed to say no.
No, I mean, all the guys there, I think, you know, they put their best foot forward. You know, I talked to a bunch of NFL people, whether it was on Marshawn Lloyd or Brendan Rice. Those are the first two. And then I think Taj Washington is another receiver. He caught a couple balls, I believe, from Caleb. Caught an awesome kind of deep corner route right up against the sideline. Ball is just beautifully thrown. So I'd say those are probably the three main names that were being talked about. But everybody ran well. It was a perfect day. You know, it was 73 degrees and sunny, man, like it always is out here in SoCal. So all the guys were juiced up. And, you know, I think I'm a big fan of when players like Caleb do pro days and bring a lot of attention to their teammates. And we've seen that trend kind of start over the last probably 10, 12 years. Jaden Daniels did the same thing. So when guys don't throw at the combine, they're always making sure that they're getting the most amount of eyeballs on their teammates back home. And I think that's the thing with Caleb. He's really, ever since I've gotten to know him, he's a shark, right? In the shark tank of quarterback rooms. Like, he is, you know, he sees blood in the water and he's going to go attack. But as a teammate, he's phenomenal, man. Like, he really is an impressive teammate in that regard, whether it was NIL deals. You know, I had an old lineman tell me a story today where, you know, they were given like a card out to some graduating offensive linemen in the O-line room, and they were given like each $100. And Caleb came in and not only contributed, you know, writing on the card, but also pointed up some extra cash, you know, unprompted. Like, he's just, his teammates love him. And of course, most people might say, well, what teammate wouldn't? Well, you'd be shocked. You know, sure. I think when you get in this, especially at those high profile positions, some guys aren't. Some guys just don't connect, especially when they're that successful. And Caleb was very aware of that. And I think that's probably one of his, you know, greatest traits. Like, he's aware of his stardom. He's aware of the juice that he has. He's aware of, you know, the glow that he can have on other people, positive or negative. And, you know, he's still young. You know, like, I just want to make that very clear. Like, he's not Peyton Manning. He's not Matthew Stafford. He's not that type of veteran. He's not Jared Goff yet. Like, he hasn't gone through those fires in the NFL, but he's going to come in and I think make the environment around him better.
How well do you think Lincoln Riley participated in getting this young man ready for the NFL? Talking about Caleb Williams.
Well, a ton. I mean, you know, he works directly with that position. He calls every play. And he also is a truth teller, you know, like he's very honest. with Caleb, whether he was playing poorly or playing well after his Heisman year. You know, every single practice they created a drill where he had to play from, he couldn't escape the pocket, you know, like he had to play from the pocket. You know, I remember, you know, coach talking to me about that in advance to call in a couple of their games last year and how it paid off. You know, sometimes he was even staying in the pocket too long, you know, cause that drill was so effective. But you know, I think Coach Riley, you know, you look at his experience with Jalen or Kyler or Baker, I mean, it speaks for itself. I think that he really, because all those guys are different players, I think he's able to adapt to the skill set. But I think in terms of handling the pressure, I learned this from Pete Carroll when I was on his staff back in the day at SC. The head coach and the quarterback, they're the two that are facing it. You know, they're the ones that also have to answer the questions, and they got to ride together. And I think that those two guys did. And, you know, Lincoln, you know, he always has had the capability to tell the truth to Caleb, to make him better. And Caleb has always desired that. You know, I think the best players never want to be told how great they are. I think they can remember the three plays in practice that they weren't at their best and say, okay, give me an answer. You know, I learned that a long time ago from, you know, NFL coaches. When young NFL quarterback coaches would get in the room, they'd have to make sure that they were dialed in with veteran QBs. Like, you got to have answers. And Lincoln's always had answers to the offensive game of Caleb Williams and many others. And I think he's been able to be someone who's positioned him to find success, criticize him, coach him, elevate him, be there when the pressure's too much. Like, he's really been all things for Caleb. And their journeys mirror each other a little bit in terms of, you know, the crazy, you know, high at Oklahoma in that first year. And then they both come to SC and then they have success. They win a Heisman. I was in New York when he won the Heisman, and, you know, Caleb's giving a speech and Lincoln's crying, and you see just the connection that they all had together. And then last year with the struggles that they had, they were in that together too. So I know Lincoln will be his biggest fan forever, and they'll always be synonymous with one another.
Last question for real. This is my third last question, Yogi, in case you're keeping track at home. And that would be, is there anything that you have seen from Caleb Williams where you're like, yeah, he's not going to get away with that at the pro level, or he needs to tighten that up? I guess the question is there anywhere that he needs to improve to make it work at the pro level?
I'm sure there's a lot. I don't think anybody's going to walk into that league as a finished product. I'd probably say the biggest thing will probably be two things that, you know, he'll be challenged upon. He's going to see defenses that are going to be more intricate than anything he faced, and that will be faster and longer and stronger and more deceptive than anything he's seen. So that's just going to be a natural. I can remember I was sitting with Jared Goff at the Elite 11 one summer, and across the table it was, should I get it right, I think it was Jalen, Tua, Drew Locke, Manny Wilkins, who was at Arizona State at the time, and somebody else. And he goes, how much football do you think you know? And he was across the table. It was an amazing room. It was myself, Trent Dilfer, the GM for the Jaguars, Trent Baalke, and a psychologist named Dr. Michael Gervais, who was with the Seahawks for almost a decade.
Wow.
And we're doing like a mock kind of NFL pro day, kind of NFL interview. And Jared was in there too. And Jared goes, how much football do you think you know? And it was amazing across the board. Some guys were like 2 out of 10. Some were like 9. And Jared goes, you know, I thought I was around a 5 when I went to the NFL, and I was a 1.
Wow.
So I just think there's a natural.
Gotcha.
Growth knowledge-wise. Like, I think in college now, it's about, especially a quarterback, getting guys to play fast and earlier because they're so gifted in high school. So I don't think anybody's dumbing things down, but I don't think you're seeing, you know, the playbook or even the defenses that you're seeing at those other levels, at the NFL level. So that's just going to be a natural area of growth, I think, for him. And then I think I just want to make sure that he, you know, knows how to get down. You know, like, that was something for him for real. Like, if you go to the Pac-12 title game, his first season against Utah, he gets hurt on a slide.
Oh, you know, like we don't want to hear that, Yogi. We don't want to hear that.
In terms of getting hit, like, he just, you know, he's a physical player, and he learned from that. So I want to make sure that my man doesn't take any vicious hits in the NFL. So I'd say, hey, get what you can, my man, and get out of bounds.
Yeah. Yeah, and we are absolutely pro that. Really good stuff right there from Yogi Roth, Pac-12 Network, also a host on Sirius XM. He also part of the Elite 11 QB camp, and meant to mention this before, that he is the author of Five Star QB. It's a book. It's called Five Star QB. Just around the corner, we're going to see if we could find some hidden gems in the draft. Jim Nagy is the executive producer of the Reese's Senior Bowl, also an 18-year NFL scout. We will pick his brain coming up soon here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.